Good morning, and welcome to Words from the Honeycomb with Joanna Eckhoff. Today, we have a special guest, Vera Williams, who is here with us, and we will be talking about how to be the salt and the light of the earth. Jesus admonishes his people that we need to get out there and taste good, taste different to people, to shine the light of love of Christ to others, and we need to do that. But how do you do that? How is it practical? We'll discuss that with you today. First, we're going to look at the Bible and see what it says. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if a salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and to trample underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So, we're supposed to be the salt. We're supposed to be the light of the world. What do you think, Vera? What does it look like to be the salt? What does that mean?
Well, really what being the salt is really being distinctive from whatever you're flavoring. So, for instance, as born-again believers, as we're living in this world, there should be something distinctive and unique about us when we're added to the mix of unbelievers and people who just don't know Christ. Really what that is you're either attracting or you're repelling. Salt creates a reaction when it's in the mix. It doesn't just sit there bland. You can actually physically taste salt in anything that you add it to. It's just very flavorful. You can't hide it. You can't mask it. And that's really what it means. When we are Christ born again believers, we are supposed to be distinctive. It should be that no one can remove our identity in Christ away from us. We should be able to see it in everywhere we go and everything that we do.
I think that's great that we need to be distinctive. We need to look different. But what does that mean? What does that actually look like in a practical example?
Well, I'll give you an example of a time that happened recently. So while I was at work, I had a client who committed fraud and just cheated me out of some money. Everybody, I was so upset because obviously, like, you know, prices of everything is going up, money, you know, you work hard for it and then someone just goes ahead and cheats you. It doesn't feel good. I really wanted to go ahead and report the person, call the police, call the bank, do all these things. And I was encouraged by my friends to do so, you know, to persecute them to the full extent of the law. But I sat back and I prayed about it and I just felt the Holy Spirit tell me, you know, let it go. And though it was very painful because it was more about my ego and more about my pride, I feel like I invested the time and the energy to help this person. I just decided, you know what, I'm going to just follow in obedience and release them, knowing that my Heavenly Father will provide. So that is just an instance of being different from what the world would do, because obviously, if I did the work, I should be compensated for it. And if the person doesn't, you know, doesn't matter about their circumstance, if they have kids at home, if anything, I should be compensated. And so that was just a decision right there that I made, that despite what the pressures I was up against, despite feeling like, yes, I was right in a situation and justified in a situation, I turned the other cheek.
What I'm hearing from you is that a good example of being the salt is forgiveness. And forgiveness is hard because it is not something that the world does easily. They are like, get your own vengeance is what they want, but vengeance is the Lord's. And he says to forgive 70 times seven. And he doesn't mean just 490 times. He means to infinity, because Christ forgave us. That enables us to forgive others. And that's a really great way to be the salt. Another thing that Jesus puts in this passage is to be the light. He wants to shine him to others. And the reason we are to shine him is so that they see God and they look at our good works, the things we've done, and they glorify God in heaven. And I love that part of being the light, that we don't hide it, we shine it. But why would you think people would hide their light? If you look at the verse, it says, don't hide the light, put it up on the mountaintop for people to see. But why would people want to hide their light?
Really, it comes down to, it's very counterculture. The reality is we live in a fallen world that glorifies the things of the world and not of Christ. And so at some times in your faith journey, you're going to be persecuted for being a Christian. You know, if you stand on our principles, on our values and our morals, you're going to be facing adversity, maybe even on a daily basis. You may be ostracized at, you know, by your so-called friends. You may lose an opportunity at work. You may be passed up for a promotion. There are actual spiritual consequences being a believer in this fallen world. When it comes to being that light, and yes, like you said, we are called to show people Christ in everything that we do. Sometimes it's difficult, especially when you feel like you have a lot to lose. But we have to remember, as born again believers, as disciples of Christ, when we decided to go on this journey, when we decided to put our faith in Him, we made a decision that we were not living for ourselves. We were not living for our comfort anymore. As Christ told us, we would have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him. So sometimes that means that you're going to have to lose out on an opportunity so that you can stand in the light. What does light really do? It drives out darkness.
Amen.
So when you walk into a space, the atmosphere should change. If your friends aren't running either to the altar or they don't want anything to do with you, you're losing your saltiness. You're losing your light, because when they are sitting in sin, they should feel from you that I can't be around this person. I either have to get my act together or I have to get away.
I hear you. So I'm gathering, we've got to be the salt. We've got to be the light. But how do we do that? Like, okay, Jesus tells us to be the salt and be the light. I want to show His love. I want to show forgiveness. I want to be different. But how do I do that? How do I practically do that in my life?
A couple of different ways. I mean, obviously, we have to start growing up. We cannot be baby believers anymore. We literally have to grow up. When the Israelites were taken out of Egypt and they were wandering in the desert, they were receiving manna, but that had to come to an end. At some point in their journey, if they had to graduate to the next level, they were going to need to go into the promised land and fight for what God told them was theirs, the milk and honey. They were never meant to eat on manna for forever. And so for us, we have to do the same thing. And what that looks like for us is that we have to crucify the flesh daily by knowing the word, making that time in the mornings, early in the mornings. We know that Jesus would draw away to go and pray. We have to make that morning devotional time a non-negotiable. In addition to that, we have to develop a life of prayer, a meaningful prayer, not a 5-minute, God, please bless me with this. No, true prayer where you're asking God, deliverance is for the desperate, where we're begging God, Heavenly Father, I want to be used. Use me in the way that you have called me to be used. I want to be your disciple. So truly spending that time learning Him, and then also crucifying that flesh through fasting, being able to disconnect, because that is what fasting does. It disconnects us from the world, and prayer connects us with Christ. And so as we're doing the connection, the combination together, we're strengthening our spiritual muscles so that that way we're able to maintain ourselves when we're facing adversity. If we never get to that graduation point, you will always feel that you are not equipped to be the salt and the light in difficult situations.
I agree with you thoroughly that we need prayer and fasting. I think people barely pray. You think about the Muslims that pray 5 times a day, and Christians in the world barely pray 5 minutes in the U.S. And you wonder why that there is a difference in their prayer lives and ours. And they're not praying to God. They're praying to Satan. And I hate to say it that way, but it's like their prayers are not going to God. They're not being accomplished for purposes of heaven. And we want our prayers to be effective and but we actually have to take the time to make it to do it. We also need to take time to spend in God's word. Like you said, there are so many biblically illiterate Christians out there today that don't know what they believe and why. And if they don't spend that time on target, God's word, when we hide it in our hearts so we may not sin against God, is what it says in Psalm 119. If we don't have God's word memorized, the more we memorize, the bigger our spiritual arsenal is to fight the lies of Satan. How can we recognize the lies from Satan if we don't know what the truth is to begin with? That is why we need that time on target, not just reading God's word, but meditating on it, spending time. What does it mean? Cross-referencing, memorizing scripture, prayer, fasting. When we spend that time in the word instead of the world, then our faces will start to reflect God, and we will mirror Him to the world. We will be the salt. We will be the light. Any parting thoughts?
Just want to add on to exactly what you just said. We have to make a decision that we're going to turn off any connection that we have that's drawing us to this world and turn it into our connection with Christ here. So that may mean we got to stop watching the shows that we're watching. We got to stop listening to what we're listening to. We have to start disconnecting from things that are not of God. This is the only way that we're going to be able to grow those spiritual muscles. We have to take that quiet time that we're supposed to have, make a prayer closet today. And you'll see your life change.
Thank you so much and have a wonderful day. God bless.